You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Oh, this sounds good.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This is what real microphones sound like.
Yeah.
What's going on, Andy? We're here at Podcast Detroit doing an episode of our podcast on real microphones in a real studio
in
a real
place. Yeah, this is high quality.
It's being broadcast right now. I don't know if anyone's listening to us at Studio 2 on the Podcast Detroit website.
Oh, people can hear us right now.
It's possible. Somebody might be listening to us live on the air. So don't panic. Don't have a freak out. I see you. You're panicking. You're getting some sweats. I've never seen that part of a body sweat on a human being before.
Well, don't point out which part it is.
I won't. But we do a podcast about movies. It's called What We Remember. We talk about movies we haven't seen in a very, very long time, movies we saw when we were kids. We try to remember the things that happened in them, and then we watch the film and then talk about what we got right and what we got wrong in the movie.
Yes, and there's a lot of making stuff up.
Well, we try to figure out where a story would go.
Sure. We start with the pieces we know, and then we make the rest up.
Yes, we try to put logic together, and we're usually too logical. That's a word. Logical for the film.
Yeah.
If we were writing the film, it would have been a better film, usually. It's usually what happens.
So should we jump into what movie we're talking about?
Let's talk about what movies we have done.
Sure.
You can find us at whatremember.com. We're at twitter.com/whatremember, facebook.com/whatweremember. We have done RoboCop, Speed, Starship Troopers.
Beethoven.
Duns and Checks In.
Air Bud.
Little Rascals.
Blank Check.
Mrs. Doubtfire. This is the You Say One, I Say One podcast. But we've done a lot of movies. I think we're on episode 44 of our current podcast, which you can find on iTunes. I'm keeping plugging because I feel like it's necessary. I got this nice microphone in front of me.
This sounds amazing. I don't even sound like myself.
You might not be here. It could be somebody else.
I'm phoning it in.
It's some sort of voice modulator attuned to your body, I think.
Is it the same voice modulator that the villain used in Scream?
Yeah, what does he sound like? What would he sound like doing a podcast?
Do you want to remember a movie?
I forget what he sounded like.
I mean, I'm not going to do it, but that's pretty close.
Drew Barrymore, what are you doing in there?
I'm more of the Scary Movie impersonator of the guy from Scream than the guy from Scream.
Yeah.
So we start our podcast with an intro. This intro is about to happen. My name is Bradley Jones.
I'm Andrew Moldenhauer.
And this is not a movie review podcast, but a podcast where we try to recall what happened in a movie we haven't seen in a very, very long time. This is What We Remember about the movie White Men Can't Jump.
Which is a strange title for a film.
It's one of the best titles for a film.
Yeah.
It's unique.
It is unique.
People get it right away what the movie is probably going to be about.
So in 1992, is that when they discovered that white men cannot actually jump?
I think that was a thing because
it became law.
Mm-hmm. There was white basketball was like all there was in the 60s and the 70s, right? White people basketball.
White people.
And then all of a sudden, like Dr. J and
the medicine woman.
No. Dr. T and the electric teeth. Mayhem, whatever.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah. People started to dunk basketballs. And they weren't white men.
Yeah, it became a dunkathon.
Yeah. And white men got put away from the NBA, and it became a thing where if a white guy could dunk, it seemed unusual.
Yeah, unless you're Larry Bird.
Larry Bird probably dunked a few balls, but I don't think that was his main game. I'm pretty sure he was taking pot shots from the three-point line.
Yeah. Who were the white men of the 90s.
John Stockton.
John Stockton was the only guy I could think of.
Mark Price, Kevin McHale. Most of them were on the Celtics. Bill Laimbeer.
Bill Laimbeer, yeah.
He's got a combat basketball for the Super Nintendo. You ever play that game?
Combat basketball? Is that where you fight people and play basketball?
Yeah, it was like arch rivals.
Because that was his thing.
Uh-huh.
That was the bad boys of the 90s.
Yeah, he would punch you.
The Detroit
you could like
Pistons.
Punch people out in that video game and then just steal the ball and dunk it. So.
And he would punch people out in the actual game.
Yeah.
And get technicals
he
all
would.
Over.
I liked Tom Chambers. He played for the Phoenix Suns.
Okay. The Utah Jazz was like my team for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Karl Malone?
Karl Malone.
He was awesome.
What was his nickname? It was like
the Mailman.
Mailman.
Because
yeah.
he always delivered. That's why they called him the Mailman.
Jazz is not really a Utah thing.
Well, it
though.
Was a New Orleans team that got moved to Utah.
That's what happens when you move teams.
We learned that from the basketball podcast.
Yes.
So let's get into the film.
Yeah.
How does it open?
Well,
what's
before
the opening?
We do that, I want to just lay down who's in this movie.
All right.
So we got Wesley Snipes.
Uh-huh. Who was his character's name?
Oh, you know it?
I know it.
I don't know
They say it.
It
like 1,000 times in the film. Sidney Dean.
Sidney Dean. Okay, that's great.
Uh-huh.
We also have Woody Harrelson.
Billy Hoyle.
Okay, Brad, how do you know this?
Because those guys say their names about 50 times to each other in the film. I'm telling you, you're going to know them from now on after you watch the movie.
We also have Rosie Perez.
We sure do. Was she in other stuff? This is the only movie I can really think that she was in.
Her first movie that I know of is Do the Right Thing.
Okay.
She was a dancer, I believe, and then switched to acting.
All right. She's great in this film.
Yeah.
And then we have, like, a bunch of other side characters who aren't really important.
Yeah, who I don't know.
No.
So the movie starting.
Okay. Do you remember?
I don't.
So Billy Hoyle is got his own basketball. He's gets off the subway.
I was going to say someone gets off the subway.
Yeah, which is like, I don't know where this takes place. Maybe
New York,
Chicago,
Brooklyn.
New York, some sort of inner
it's
city.
Definitely, I think it's definitely New York.
It could, there's also like a beach in a, it could be like San Francisco or LA or somewhere. Somewhere with a nice beach and a basketball court.
Okay, I could either see it being New York
I think it's
York
in California.
LA.
Somewhere in California, I believe.
That makes sense.
Billy Hoyle is dribbling the ball. He's having a good time. He sits down in front of a basketball pole and puts his hat over his head and just goes to sleep. And that's the opening of the movie.
Wow. They're really laying it out there for you.
Yeah. And now we cut
like,
to...
You also can fall asleep to this scene.
If you want to open a movie, have your main character just take a nap.
But he wakes back up and people are playing a pickup game?
He doesn't even wake back up. It just cuts to people playing a pickup game.
So they just shot him falling asleep.
Yes. It's like he's just there waiting for things to start.
Okay.
And it does cut to a street ball game.
Yes.
With Wesley Snipes
Wesley
playing.
Wesley Snipes is playing.
Mm-hmm. With three other guys. It's 2-on-2 basketball.
Okay.
Is what they've been doing for street ball. And it's a money thing. The gamble.
Yes.
That's the whole
money,
plot
is a
of the
huge,
movie.
Yes, it's huge. Because they're, and I don't know if this is right off the beginning, but they're running a scheme.
Yeah. Well,
or eventually they're running a scheme.
Eventually they're running a scheme. It just, well, Billy Hoyle is running his scheme here in this scene.
Yeah.
Because he's.
Because they're all under the impression that white men cannot jump.
Or just be good at basketball in general. So he's a doofy white guy. One of the players who isn't on, so Wesley Snipes has his own player and they're going against two other guys. And one guy says, you can pick my partner. Anybody out here, I bet I could beat you. And Wesley Snipes picks goofy dupe looking Billy Hoyle.
Okay.
Woody Harrelson. It's like, oh, I guess I can play a little ball.
But he's actually good.
Yes, that's the whole scheme.
Now, is this a scheme right from the beginning?
It's Billy Hoyle's scheme right from the beginning. To look, he looks like he, what am I trying to say? Like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Okay.
That's the analogy I'll use.
And so once they realize that he's actually good, then Wesley Snipes, I think, wants to make this a routine scheme
yes.
that they have.
So this first. Because
they can make a ton of money off this.
And in this first basketball game. They quickly figure out what's going on, that the ruse is up, that he's actually good at basketball. His team ends up winning. Sidney Dean loses a bunch of money. Then Billy Hoyle just leaves, like, thanks for the money, you know. See you later. And like, we understand what you did. It was a dirty trick, you know, mm-hmm. doing what you did. And
he's
like,
well, deed.
And he says something like, yeah, whatever, you know, all's fair in Love and Basketball, which is another film.
Yeah, that's a different movie. So, I was trying to rack my brain as to what goes on in this movie, uh-huh. and I can only pick up one other piece. Okay. I know Rosie Perez's story.
Yeah, Jeopardy.
She's trying out for Jeopardy.
She's trying out for Jeopardy.
Yeah. The entire time, she's watching Jeopardy, answering questions. She's practicing.
She's reading books.
Yes.
She's trying to remember all sorts of weird facts.
Yes.
But before we get to the end of that, because this is kind of how the movie ends with her
going
on the Jeopardy game.
Yeah, we can hold off on that for a moment.
Woody Harrelson goes back home, which I think is just like a hotel or motel. It's just some
Holiday
like,
Inn.
Yeah, some flea bag place. I don't think they own it. I think they're just there for a while. They're on the run because they owe money to some gangsters.
Oh, yes.
And I forget why.
Yeah.
But they took out a loan and they haven't been able to
pay it
back.
It's like a loan shark or something like that.
Yeah. So they're constantly at edge. People coming into their place or worrying about gangsters coming to find them.
Yeah, they're definitely like hopping from motel to motel the entire time.
And that's what Woody Harrelson is just trying to do. He's just trying to earn enough money for them to pay off these loan shark people and then they can go have a life of their own together and like be married and be happy and all that stuff.
Yeah. They're both kind of running their own scheme in a way.
Well, Rosie Perez is helping him.
Right. Well, she's trying to get on Jeopardy to get enough money.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get enough money through playing basketball so that they can get out of the rut that they're in.
And I think realistically, Woody Harrelson doesn't think she is going to get on Jeopardy, first of all. And even if she does, she isn't going to win. So she doubts her a little bit. But
he doubts her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they end up like being fun and coy together. And they're kind of a fun couple. Like they seem like they belong together. You kind of get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That they love each other.
I wanted to ask you, can you do a Rosie Perez
impersonation? No, I'm not even going to try.
No? You're not even going to go for it?
I'll do it in part two after I see the movie and can remember what she sounds like.
Okay.
Billy! I think she says something like that. She says his name a lot. Billy!
She's got like a speech impediment?
Yeah. Doesn't she? Oh. So then we go to the second basketball game.
Yes.
Wesley Snipes knows what's up. Billy Hoyle is in the audience again, but this time Wesley Snipes is the guy who says, you can pick my partner. And there's this tall dude who's good at basketball, like kind of like a gangster guy, picks Billy Hoyle. They're trying to get a bunch of money together. That guy, the tall other basketball player guy on the other team, doesn't have enough money.
I think I know where this is.
So he takes a gun out of his car and then robs a liquor store that's like right down the street. But like the owner knows who it is. It's like, what are you doing under that, Larry? What are you doing under that hood, Larry? I know who you are. I know you said you were 9. What are you doing? Like, just give it to me, Pops. Give me the money, Pops.
So that scene didn't end the – if you're saying it goes that way, it didn't really end the way that I remember. I thought
Well, it still goes on. That's just him getting the money.
Okay. Yeah, okay. You're right. And I thought that he pulled out a gun to shoot
this
Billy
happens after he realizes that this was a hustle.
Okay, yes. That's the part I remember.
Yeah. He uses the same gun that he
So he robs a store.
Yeah.
For some money.
Yeah.
To put on this game. Mm-hmm. Then he realizes that he's being duped.
Yes.
And he pulls out the same gun to kill everybody.
Yes. He just like, yeah.
And they all scatter.
And they all just scatter. But like Wesley Snipes and Billy Hoyle end up getting away in like a convertible car. Like she's getting shot after him though.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there's some kind of dynamic between Wesley Snipes. He has a wife and he has a nice home, I believe.
Yes.
And Woody Harrelson is on the down and out.
Yeah,
so there's kind of some strife there between the two of them.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes has everything that Woody Harrelson wants in life, essentially.
Yes.
And Wesley Snipes even, like, he appreciates what he has. He even has kids and things like that. He has, like, all the good things in life. He's worked really hard for it. He almost looks down on Billy Hoyle because he ends up using him in this next basketball game.
How so?
So he sets up another game. He's like, come on, you got to be my partner in this game, Billy. Come down. We'll do this the whole trick again.
Yeah.
You pick my partner. We'll do it up. Okay. So they play a game and they're doing okay, but suddenly Sidney Dean starts to be bad. He starts missing shots. He starts turning over the ball.
He's throwing the
game. He's throwing the game.
That's not good.
He's trying to get Billy Hoyle's money. Sidney Dean or Wesley Snipes is in with the other guys on the other team just trying to get Woody Harrelson's money. It's like a bunch of money. It's almost like all the money he's earned from the first two games combined.
But he doesn't really have any money.
He has money from the first two games.
Right, right. But that's all the money he has.
That's all the money he has. And like Sidney Dean's promise, like it's a sure thing. Just come down, do this. We're going to win. We're going to double your winnings. It's going to be great.
That's a double cross.
Yeah, gets double crossed. Double dribbled.
Double, yeah. He got double dribbled on this one.
So, but then
so
Woody Harrelson goes home.
He's throwing bricks. He's throwing air balls.
Mm-hmm. Air buds.
Air buds. You know, dogs are
all
playing.
Of them. So, Woody Harrelson goes home. Rosie Perez, like, he's all down and out. Like, Sidney just had a bad game. That's like, what can I do? I lost the money.
So
like, what do you mean you lost the money?
He thinks that this was an accident.
It's a legit thing that he just had an off game. And Rosie Perez is not listening to it. He's like, no. He did not have a bad game.
She's too smart.
When has he ever had a bad game? You got hustled. And he's like, I didn't get hustled. He's like, you got hustled. And he, like, refuses to do it. She goes over to Wesley Snipes' house to confront his wife about this.
Oh, boy. And maybe do you think like his wife doesn't know that he's kind of running the scheme and making money on the side through this stuff?
She does know, but she also doesn't care where the money comes from. She knows everything in the house isn't on the up and up and that he's not up to like, I mean, it's gambling. Illegal anyway. She knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
They end up having an agreement, Rosie Perez and Wesley Snipes' wife. They're not going to give Billy Hoyle's money back. But there's a basketball competition coming up, and Sidney Dean is going to be Billy's partner, and they're going to try to win it.
Okay.
It's like a huge grand prize.
Yes.
Enough to get Billy Hoyle to pay the loan sharks and everything.
Now, and then there's – because this is a movie, and you want drama at the end, I believe they're playing the basketball game at the same time that she's going to be on Jeopardy.
No.
No, okay. Never mind. It's not a movie. This is a book.
They end up going to the game, and it's like a legit two-on-two basketball game. There's, like, great players in it. There's another evil-y team that's, like, kind of in competition with Billy Hoyle, Sidney Dean. Sidney Dean's almost, like, trying to rein in Billy Hoyle because he's acting too goofy or too wild. And he's like, this isn't the street ball. This is like real basketball. Because like he actually takes pride in like how he looks and how he's represented with this group of people inside this basketball game. They end up winning.
Okay.
In a glorious fashion. It's kind of a fun little thing. There's tons of basketball in this movie.
Now, as they're about to win, is there some kind of injury that happens?
No.
Are they, shooting free throws and
nope.
Okay. Are they dribbling at all?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, got that one.
They're making jump shots. They're doing dunks.
Count that.
There is a moment where Woody Harrelson has a chance to dunk the ball, but doesn't. He does a layup, and that ends up winning him the game. And then Sidney Dean kind of teases him, like, you should have just dunked it on that guy. Like, what are you doing? You should have just done it. And he was just, like, playing it off. Like, I just did the safe shot. I just did it, whatever. It's like, you could have just put exclamation on it. And it kind of goes off that. They end up winning. On the way home.
Yeah, you don't need to do the crazy, frilly shot. You just lay it up.
Just hit the score.
Just do it.
So they go.
It's all by the numbers.
They're driving home. And Sidney Dean calls Woody Harrelson about not being able to dunk. He's like, you can't dunk the ball. It just can't happen. It's like, yeah, I can. I could dunk a basketball. So he's like,
no.
Don't even worry about it.
Of the movie.
Yeah, this is the whole white man can't dunk part of the film. So because he is just so prideful, Billy Hoyle puts all of his money on the line that he just won against Sidney's money. If he can dunk a basketball, he gets all the money. Tell me what happens, Andy.
He can't dunk it. He tries and he can't do it. He's just too white.
He's just too white.
That's the problem, right?
There's a wide shot of him trying to dunk the ball, getting ready for it, and he just can't do it.
Yeah.
And Wesley Snipes.
He loses all that money. Mm-hmm. What a shame.
Because he's just too prideful.
Man, I would just be like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah, just take your money and run, dog.
Yeah.
Don't even worry
about it. You already won. You don't need to win again because you're going to lose.
And when he gets home to Rosie Perez, she is not happy.
Of course not.
No.
Oh, I see where this is going. So she has to win it all in Jeopardy.
Yep. I even think the two loan shark guys come up and like scare them out of the apartment.
Yeah. There's a couple chases out of the apartment.
Rosie Perez ends up leaving him just like straight up. And then it's the old switcheroo where you like hear the knock on the door. You think it's Rosie on the other side, but it's the loan shark guys and they beat up Billy Hoyle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Poor Billy.
Mm-hmm. 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 But then she ends up finally.
She how did.
Do you know how? How did she get the ticket? How did she get invited on Jeopardy?
How else do you get it? Try out?
Sidney Dean and his wife.
They paid for it.
They had. They knew somebody who could get her on the show.
They had a back deal.
Yes.
With her.
Well, it's a front deal.
Front deal. Side deal.
A little side deal.
There we go.
And she gets on and she wins. She wins big. She kills it. And yeah. She's in studio with Alex Trebek answering questions, getting things right. There was stuff that she was studying early in the movie that gets brought up on the show.
It's just a montage, too, because it's just her like answering each question.
What is Barracuda?
Yeah.
Who is Nelson Mandela? What is the Mariana Trench?
You were watching some Jeopardy earlier, weren't you?
Like the most like common answers you could think of to anything. Who is Ralph Waldo Emerson?
I don't even know who that is.
I never found him in that book. Where's Waldo? Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Where's Waldo?
Oh, no.
So how does this movie end? Finish me up. I've been talking too much, Andy. It's your turn to take us home.
You have been talking too much, but you knew a lot more than I did.
Okay, let's
this.
Talk about how I saw this movie as a kid.
You saw it as a kid?
In the 90s. It was one of the first rated R movies I had ever seen in my life.
I'm pretty sure I saw this as a kid
as well. It felt too adult.
I didn't see it when it came out. I saw it, you know, probably 4 or 5 years later. I don't know. It does feel a little adult, but I think it's not like. There's like probably swear words and stuff.
There's some nudity.
There's some there's nudity.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. I saw this.
And basketball was just like the coolest thing in the 90s for anybody. It was the hottest thing. The Dream Team was a deal. Michael Jordan was
probably
on
top.
Probably
even more hot today.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think so. I think it was really big in the 90s. Like every team had stars.
Yeah.
It was fun to be a fan of any of the basketball teams. And even if you weren't, you had Michael Jordan to look up to.
Right.
And if
right.
he wasn't your guy, you got Magic Johnson. If he wasn't your guy,
Patrick
you got
Ewing.
Larry Bird. You no got one liked Patrick Ewing.
What? He was, what was he, on the Knicks?
He was just a tall Knicks guy, yeah.
Oh, man. You got Muggsy Bowes.
But every team had a big
you got
star.
Shaq.
It was fun to be a fan of basketball. It was a cool thing to do.
I loved
it. And we grew up in Detroit. We had the Bad Boys.
Yeah.
Those back-to-back championships. How could you not be a fan?
I watched a lot of basketball when I was younger. And I might have already told this story on the podcast, but I was on a basketball team in third grade, and we were terrible. And we went up against the toughest team. And it was all third graders, but this other team,
they were
for
all
some
6 foot
reason,
tall from Yugoslavia.
Yeah. They cheated somehow, and they had a sixth grader on their team.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
He's like had a mustache, deep voice.
Yeah. And no one ever passed it to me because I was not very good at shooting. I was good on defense, and there was only one game where someone passed me the ball. And it was a moment where I still remember to this day thinking, I can either shoot this ball or I could just pass it to our best player. And I was like, you know what? This is the first time I ever got the ball. I'm going to go for it. And I was probably 4 feet away from the basket. It wasn't even close.
And the quarter's over.
Yeah.
Your team loses by 2 points.
It felt like that. And I never played basketball ever again.
I played basketball on a team for a few years. It was pretty fun. One of my worst moments of my life, and most embarrassing. It was still really funny. The game was ending. There were like 3 seconds left on the clock. I get passing the ball from the other end of the court. I'm taking it up. I dribble a little bit. I stop dribbling. I take about 5 steps and just huck the ball. And the referee just could not stop laughing at the fact that his little kid tried so hard to hit the ball in. I just traveled. It didn't matter. And it was like the game
was. And then you did a hook
shot. Called the game. Didn't even go anywhere. But hit the back of the YMCA and bounced off.
They called a technical on how bad that was.
Yeah. You're going to lose the next game because of how bad you did this game. That's going to be what we do for fairness.
Yeah. That's like all the basketball memory that I have.
Well, you have Cutsy Bill up, so I think you've told on the podcast before, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the dangerous time. I used to have these sandals that I loved, and they were broken, but I would put them together with safety pins because I didn't want to throw them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I played basketball with them one time. And pretty soon I was like, oh my God, my leg is completely bleeding.
Because the safety pins had come loose and stabbed you in your foot.
Yes. There were probably like 5 safety pins on this thing.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. And it's more of a torture device than it is a sandal.
The end of White Men Can't Jump.
Yes.
They get the money. They cut to a scene where Billy Hoyle is beat up, bloody, bruised. But they widen out and it's just makeup. The loan shark guys wanted photos for this book because they've been showing photos of the people they've been beaten up and how much money they've been gotten out of them as like a threat. So they do the same thing with Billy Hoyle where they like make him look like they beat him up just so you can put more photos in their book to scare other people for their loan sharking stuff.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any
sense.
What
do you mean? They're a good business model.
Are they?
These two goofy loan shark guys.
So they don't actually want to beat anybody up?
They do.
Okay, they
do. But they also want to scare you. They want the money, ultimately.
Well, okay, if they were actually loan shark people, why wouldn't they just beat you up and then take a photo of you and then put that in their book?
Because they get paid this way. I'm sure some of them are real in the book.
Okay.
But maybe not. I don't know.
So they're like picking and choosing, like, we don't actually want to beat you up.
I don't know the logistics of
John over
here
is a makeup artist. we brought some eyeshadow, and we brought some fake blood. We're gonna spend an hour trying to do up your face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This feels a little...
You gotta let this part go.
This feels a little contrived.
You'll see the movie and it'll make sense to you.
Okay.
And I think Rosie Perez and Billy Hoyle don't get back together?
No, I think
they
get
back
together. I think they do.
I don't know if they do. Maybe they do.
Now,
I think Billy Hoyle gets like a real job. Like he doesn't want to play basketball or hustle anymore, rather.
Well, I bet he probably gets a real job, but he plays basketball on the side.
I'm a little bit confused about the ending of the film.
Yeah. I'm confused about the loan shark thing.
That's not the big deal of this film.
Oh, my God. It seems like a big deal.
Not even.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's just a little the stakes that are like put in the film. The little
now, do
added...
they pay off the loan sharks?
Yeah. They have the Jeopardy money.
Okay. Okay. So then if they use the Jeopardy money, then they must get back together.
Maybe. I think they even like get like a nice suit for Billy to like go for a job interview.
Yeah. That would be a good ending.
Yeah.
And Wesley Snipes.
He's already got the good life. I mean, what is he even doing?
Are they friends now?
Probably.
Yeah.
Best buds?
Best buds.
Mm-hmm.
You got friendship out of this?
Yeah. And I think.
Okay. It's good to think.
I think they play another game at some point, or Woody Harrelson's on his own, and he dunks a basketball. He does.
Yeah, yeah.
At some point.
You gotta end it with a white man at least jumping.
Yeah. At some point, a white man can jump.
Yes.
Maybe it's even...
As long as you're Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
a short, balding guy who smokes a lot of weed.
Matthew McConaughey?
No, that's Woody Harrelson.
Oh, okay. They seem like the same description. Well,
Matthew McConaughey still has his hair.
Mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey. I like to call him. And that's it.
Yeah, that's why so he jumps.
Can't jump. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ends
it's
up
a great
jumping.
Movie.
So it's a white. They should call it White Man Can Jump because he totally could jump.
Yeah,
it's over.
Well, you had to prove something
that white man could jump.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was the point.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, yeah.
All right, let's go.
Great movie.
Watch this movie. We'll come back and talk about it.
Yeah, it sounds great. Join us in part two. We're gonna watch White Man Can't Jump. See what we got right. See what we got wrong. Thanks.
That was good.
We do a part two like later and combine the two parts together.